After a summer with relatively few serious cases of COVID-19, Wyoming's hospitals are full, and the death toll is rising. Even the governor and the first lady have contracted the coronavirus, and it shows no signs of letting up. State Health Officer Dr. Alexia Harris joins me now to discuss the virus, face coverings, and the vaccine. I want to just start off and just talk about something that's very obvious in our state right now. We're seeing more fatalities than we've ever seen, and the numbers don't seem to be getting better. I just thought maybe a great place to start is, you know, what's going on and what's your thoughts on what's happening in the state right now?
Yes, well, thank you, Bob, for having me. And certainly we are very concerned about what is happening in the state right now. It is, of course, heartbreaking to see so many deaths, especially recently from COVID-19. And that, unfortunately, we know comes with having increased transmission levels in our state, which we certainly do right now, as well as increased hospitalizations. We are seeing high levels of transmission really everywhere in the state at this point. And one of the most concerning things that we are seeing is, of course, the increase in hospitalizations. One of our goals during this whole pandemic has been to make sure that we are able to maintain our healthcare capacity so that everybody who needs healthcare in hospitals, you know, whether it be from COVID or whether it be from any other condition, is able to access a healthcare provider, able to access the highest level of care. And that's what we're concerned about right now. The main concern for our hospitals seems to be at this point staffing, that because of both the volume of patients and because of the number of staff that are out because of either having been exposed to COVID or actually having COVID, that we've needed to supplement at this point some of their staffing to make sure that they can care for all of their patients. So that is something that we're watching very closely and are concerned about.
One of the things you just said I thought was very interesting, and that's the fact that you're starting to see it come in all kinds of areas. I was going to tell you maybe a month ago, it looked like the nursing home outbreaks and that kind of thing were really what was driving everything, but you're seeing it all over the place?
Yes, it really is all over the place. There's not a specific location or really, you know, kind of a specific type of activity that you can pinpoint many of the transmission events to at this point. We are, again, seeing it in locations throughout the state. And it is simply the case that, you know, really any time that you are gathering with somebody outside of your household, attending events, that does put you at increased risk of contracting COVID-19 because of how prevalent it is. But we also know that there are certainly certain types of activities that pose that higher risk, and that's where we're seeing transmission. And those are gatherings of people, you know, from multiple households where we're not seeing precautions taken, such as mask use, such as distancing, and such as, you know, staying home when you are having symptoms, even if they're mild symptoms, because that can still be COVID-19. And so those types of gatherings do pose a greater risk. And it's why we're really asking people and really emphasizing, and it's more important than ever, to take those simple but very important precautions of trying to distance yourself from others, not gathering with others when you don't have to do it, wearing face coverings and staying home when you're sick.
There's been a lot of clamor, of course, as you well know, for a mask mandate. So I'm curious what you think something like that might do for us as a state if you decided to go in that direction.
Sure. So the evidence that face masks prevent, you know, me, for example, if I had COVID-19 and didn't know it, from spreading it to others is really growing. And we also know that the more people that are wearing masks, again, in those situations, especially indoors, especially when it's difficult to maintain a distance from people outside of your households, the more people that are wearing those masks, the more effective that we will be in slowing transmission of this virus. It really is a simple step to take to wear your mask to protect others. And we think that that's really important and want as many people to be doing that, wearing masks indoors when they're around people from who are not in their households as much as possible. We are certainly very, I'm very happy to see that 16 of our 23 counties have those mask orders in place for those specific types of situations. And I do think that those have resulted in increased mask use in those areas. And we are working on extending those county orders right now to make sure that they continue to be in place. There really should be no question right now about how the Department of Health feels about face masks, that people should be wearing them, and it helps our communities, it helps our businesses stay open, it helps our schools stay open if we can wear face coverings in those situations. I think it's also important to remember, though, that while face coverings are a very important and effective tool, they are not the only tool, and they in and of themselves, will not, stop the spread of COVID-19. We need to use face coverings in conjunction with those other measures that I talked about. So even with face coverings, still limiting gatherings is important. Still maintaining physical distancing is important. And probably the most important of all is staying home when you feel sick.
Is there going to be an appropriate time to go back and revisit closures of any sort?
We are always considering whether we need more restrictive measures such as closures. Obviously, we know that closures have a big impact on people, their ability to have a job, their ability to operate their business. And so we obviously would prefer to do other things like having people wear face coverings, which I think can help prevent those types of closures. But at the same time, we are considering everything. Everything is on the table. And as always, we will make the decisions based on the data that we're seeing.
Alexia Harris, she is your state health officer visiting with us today. But by the way, I wanted to go back and follow up. Do you anticipate calling for a state mask mandate, or are you leaving that up to the communities?
So the governor, has spoken about the desire for having local control as much as possible. And that's the situation where we are now. But again, everything is on the table. And if, we feel that a statewide mask order is needed, that is certainly something that we will consider.
Are you surprised how overwhelmed the hospitals have gotten?
I wouldn't say I'm surprised. I think because of the steps that we took as a state early on in this pandemic, we were successful in slowing transmission, which I think was very important in essentially buying us some time to be more prepared for this situation. We were able to acquire and make sure we had enough supplies of that personal protective equipment that healthcare providers need. We were able to make sure we have enough testing so that anyone with symptoms, any close contacts, and now really anybody in the state can get tested if they'd like to sort of develop those appropriate tools and those necessary tools to combat this pandemic. Healthcare providers are certainly much more familiar now with treating COVID patients, which I think is important. And of course, we are closer to a vaccine now than we were in the spring and summer. But we were able, of course, to observe other places that saw high levels of transmission earlier than we did. And knowing that this virus can cause severe disease, not in everybody, many people have mild symptoms, but many people also have severe symptoms. And so we knew that the more cases we would see, the more hospitalizations would be required. So unfortunately, we can predict or expect that if we can continue to see increasing transmission in our communities, we will continue to see increasing hospitalizations and deaths.
So where do things look like to you as we head for the next 2 or 3 months?
So I think people should be very hopeful about the vaccine. The news that we're hearing about the effectiveness of the vaccine is very promising. And I really think that we are able to look at that as a light at the end of a tunnel, the tunnel. We have an end in sight at this point, which was not true for many months during this pandemic. We have what we think is going to be an effective vaccine, But in the meantime, if we can sort of hunker down and take these precautions for a few more months, we are going to be able to prevent deaths as we wait the vaccine to be available, widely available in the community.
42% of people polled say they don't want to take a vaccine. How do you overcome that so this thing doesn't continue?
Yeah, I think it's important to note that while certainly the process of, you know, making this vaccine available in the United States is faster than the usual processes for making vaccines available, it is still very rigorous, and that health officials at both the Food and Drug Administration and an independent panel of scientists will be carefully reviewing all of the data that are available for these vaccines before they authorize its use and before they recommend its use. And so these vaccines, will be studied, the data will be reviewed before they're available. And I think it's important for people to understand that process, and that that process ensures that we will have as safe a vaccine as possible.
I know you were actually talking about this today as we talk. I'm curious, do you anticipate following the federal guidelines and providing healthcare workers and some of the elderly population first?
Yes, we do plan on following those guidelines from the from that independent panel of scientists that advises the CDC in terms of the order in which we will provide vaccinations when we have limited supply of vaccine. And so those healthcare providers that are caring for patients and those individuals who are more at risk for bad outcomes will be top on our list for vaccine.
And when do you think the average person might get a shot at some of this?
Well, I will avoid predicting the future because that usually is a good way to be wrong. But I do think that, you know, it won't be right away. We will have to wait some time until the vaccines are produced in an amount that they're really available for the general public. So I think we still need to have some patience and be prepared to wait a number of months until we arrive at that point.
Good luck in the next few weeks, Dr. Harris. I know the job doesn't get any easier. And thank you so much for making yourself available and for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Bob. Again, I really appreciate your having me.